feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like doing my dance. I feel like doing my dance. Some of y'all got a dance that y'all need to be doing. I feel like doing my dance. Don't just look. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. How many of us know that God is good? How many of us know that we've been through problems, trials, and tribulations that God deserves praise for? Because He brought us out of it, correct? So come on, instead of just standing there, why don't we praise Him for what He's done? Why don't we praise Him for who He is and who He always will be, because He's not a changing God. Amen? All right, cool. Sing it out, I feel like. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. Come on, y'all got it. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands. Come on, I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands. Come on, I feel like shouting for joy. I feel like shouting for joy. Come on, I give God a shout. I feel like shouting for joy. Whoa. Yes, He's been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance. I feel like doing my dance. Come on and move this morning. I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like we definitely need to dance. Come on, one more time. I feel like doing my dance. I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance. Come on and sing, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on and praise Him. In the morning, when it's late at night. Hallelujah. Come on and sing it out. Just praise Him. Whoa, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Come on, I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Whoa, the Lord has been so good. I feel like praising. I feel like clapping my hands. Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. I feel like clapping my hands. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands. I feel like shouting for joy.
I feel like shouting for joy.
Come on, let Him hear you shout.
I feel like shouting for joy. Whoa, the Lord has been so good to me.
Yeah, feel like shouting. Come on and do your little dance. Come on, y'all. Hey, I feel like doing my dance. I feel like doing my dance. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like doing my dance. Come on and sing, praise Him. 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 Come on, just one more time. Can we praise Him? Praise. Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him.
Come on and give God a praise. Come on, come on, give God a shout, give God a shout, come on, give God a shout. See, I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. Come on and worship. I feel like praising Him. Come on, let's sing that one more time. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. So fight this battle for me, Lord, heal my unbelief, so I can tell all my friends that you have won again. Come on and say that again. Now let your power fall, Lord, when your name is called. Prove the doubt is wrong, God. You're still mighty and strong. So fight this battle for me. Come on, sing. Fight this battle for me, yeah. Even when I don't understand it, help my unbelief, Lord, so I can tell all my friends and even the ones that hate me. Come on, we all got haters, that you have won. Sing it out. You have won. To what the doctor said over you. See words. have won again. Come on and sing. You have won again. Even when I had my own doubts on you, Lord God, you won.
You have
won. Hallelujah.
Again.
It's only by you, Lord.
Jesus, and just start thanking him for every battle he's won for us. Go ahead and start thanking him in faith for the future battles that you might have. We know that they're already won because of what he's done on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we just love to worship you.
Because of who you are, give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are.
You are Jehovah,
Jehovah Jireh.
Jesus,
because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Jehovah, Jireh.
I shared this morning at 7:15 prayer. The Lord had been laying on my heart that there were folks that were in a dissatisfied spiritual position, not just in the church, but as a whole. Their thoughts are, well, you know, the church this or this, I just don't feel the same that I used to. The Lord was teaching me something, and I shared it this morning. It was this, is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me, making me lie down, which means he's taking us into new pasture. Do you know what's amazing is some people remain in the old pasture too long. You know, if you've ever seen like sheep out in a pasture, man, I tell you, they can clean up a pasture. The first time you take them into this beautiful area, it's all green grass and it's just gorgeous, but the sheep start eating. And after a while, all the long shoots are all gone, and all they're now nibbling on is what we call nubs, just little pieces. And if you leave the sheep in that spot, then they become very dissatisfied because there's not the freshness. It's not new. It's not tasty. So they get dissatisfied. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. What the Lord was showing me is that he's starting to lead some of you that are feeling that in their position. You're looking to blame it on the church. You're looking to blame it on different other things. But this has nothing to do with the church. God is looking to lead you to a new pasture. That means a new level in the spirit. But so many of us get so comfortable with the pasture that we're in that we really don't want to move. It's been a great season. God's blessing's been upon us, and it's just been a great time with Jesus. But yet, now we're eating nubs, and we're saying, well, God, there's got to be more. Well, God, I'm just not happy here. I'm not. God is saying, listen, I'm trying to take you to the next plateau, but that's going to take you to work. That's going to take maybe more time in prayer for you. More time in the Word for you. More time fasting for you. Listen, where we were is great. But where God wants to bring us is greatness. With the new shoots, man, the one thing I've learned this about cows too is that cows don't like it when the grass gets real long because the grass gets tough. Did you know that? It's when it's the new grass. The shorter grass, that's sweet to the cow, sweet to the sheep. God wants to take you to where he wants you to be, but that means you're going to have to do something you've never done before. That means God's going to bring new commitment to your life. That means he's going to call and require more time. And listen, if you choose not to go, God's not going to make you go, but don't complain about the nubs when you could have the good green grass. Now, a lot of us, that's just not an interest. Well, I just don't want to go to hell. Well, I don't blame you. I don't want to go to hell either. But this is not about not going to hell. This is about you and I getting the best that God has for us. And so some of you need to relook at your dissatisfaction and stop blaming it on things around you. Because it's the Spirit of God trying to take you to the next level, but you just don't want to work that hard. You don't want to follow the lead. But I challenge you to do that. You know, this week, it's very interesting. This week, a man called me and he said, Pastor, I'm learning how to fast. Do I fast coffee? And he's a guy you would never think about that he would ever fast. You know, but what's amazing is I know pastors. I minister to a lot of pastors. I know pastors who don't fast, but this guy's going to fast. This man will go to a place in a plane in God that those pastors will never get to. Why? Because he wants to go to green pastures and still waters. He wants to follow the shepherd. And the shepherd never stays in the same pasture. He always leads you to the new, the fresh, the best. I challenge you to go. I challenge you to go to the new pasture. Stop blaming. Stop putting this on this and that on that. It's you. And it's time for you to go to the next level in God. But you have to choose to go there. That means it's going to cost you. And I challenge you to pay the cost. Because whatever God's done is always good, man. Wherever God takes you, you know is always going to be fruitful. Wherever God takes you, you know is always going to be rewarding. Because the Lord, he said, I'll give you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But you can't imagine when you're staring at little nubs that are about this high and all you can see is the dirt. Get your eyes out of the dirt and get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Go to the next plane in God. God's also hearing somebody, there's a problem with your neck. It goes from right about here up into the neck area, and you're having pain in there, and God is healing you right now. If you just start moving your head around, you'll find that God's healing you right now, right where you sit, right where you are. And ma'am, I'm believing God completely. By the end of the service, there'll be no more fuzziness in your right eye. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you need healing, raise your hand right now. Put your hand where you need healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the power and the authority in your word and in your name. I command the spirit of infirmity in Jesus' name. You must submit yourself to the word of God. I command you to go. Get ready. Now, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I speak to the root cause, if it's not spiritual. And I command the body to respond to the anointing that brings all things into order and newness. And Jesus, we thank you that healing is the bread of the children. And it is ours, and it is done. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell somebody, ask them, are you going to greener pastures or staying with the nubs? Come on, go find five people you do not know and say, are you staying with the nubs or going to greener grass?
HT family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Hey, guess what? Our next water baptism is coming up August 26th. We're having it for both 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service. If you want to sign up, you want to be baptized, you can do that. Go right to the hub, right in the foyer, or go online, histabernacle.com/baptism, and sign up today.
Do you know what next month is? We have Marriage Encounter.
No, we changed the date. It's now November 8th through the 10th.
The total cost for this encounter is $425. You want to make sure you make your first deposit as soon as possible so that way you can secure your spot.
Hi, family. I'm here to share about the healing journey and what it's done in my life. It's taken me from bitterness to contentment, from victim to victorious, from fear and insecurity to trust and faith. As a result of the healing I received while taking this class, I was able to fulfill a lifelong dream to write and publish a children's book. If you are desperate for healing in your mind and intimacy with the Lord, take the healing journey and begin your journey on Trust Trail.
I know the Lord. Yeah.
Let's have a shout of praise for what God has done in the house this morning. There is no greater privilege than to be surrounded by people that believe in the power of our God. How many of you believe there's power in our God? Power in the Word. Power in His hands. Amen. We would like to welcome you this morning. If you are a guest, we're going to ask that you would raise your hand. We have some guest hosts that are going to come around, bless you with a coffee mug and some information about who we are. In this house, we build strong relationships, and it's important for us to get to know you. So if you would also just stop at the tent on your way out of the building, we have some snacks, and you'll have an opportunity to meet some of the pastors and the leaders here at His Tabernacle. And we also would like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you. Praise God that there are no boundaries to His power and to His love. There are no limits. And we're just so thankful that you choose to come together with us every single day to worship the King and to be built up and strengthened by the Word of God. Now, we have some great things going on here at His Tabernacle Family Church. One of the things that I love is that we have a Next Steps program. Turn to somebody next to you, say Next Steps. That's right. So we have a brand new class, Next Steps Step 2, that is going to teach about the end times. How many of you know that we are living in the end times right now? And it's really important for you to understand what it is that you are participating with and what your expectations should be for what God would have you do in this season. If you are in an end time season, if you're here today and you're breathing, then God purposed and planned for you to be here at this time, at that season, which means that God has plans for you to move on His behalf in this very dynamic, special time of God's plan for our lives. And so you want to make sure that you come out Tuesday nights, 7 o'clock, beginning August 21st for the Next Steps class and times. Also, if you have not participated with a group yet, I would encourage you to get involved with a group. In Acts, the Christians met daily in their homes. They broke bread together. They lifted each other up by talking about Jesus. And if you are not surrounded by people where you end up talking about how good Jesus is every single time you get together with them, then you are surrounded by the wrong people. Do not be mistaken. Just because they say they're Christians does not mean that they really are living relationship with Jesus Christ. So you need to surround yourself with powerful people that are watching God move in their lives every single day. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have to get together with one another so that we can can profess and proclaim and exalt God for what it is that he's been doing in our lives. So make sure that you get involved with the group. Go out to the hub. They'll make sure that you get the information that you need. And I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Rhonda. She is going to bless us with our tithes and our offerings.
Amen. Wow, I love the house of God so much. His presence is wonderful in this place this morning. I enjoy this time that we get to talk about finances, your money, every single week. It is so important that we bring it up and talk about it, because if not, what it becomes is a religious thing. It becomes just a ritual that we do, and it loses its power and its meaning. When we give our money to God and we remember why we do it, it becomes powerful. It can transform everything in our lives. Our lives, if we're honest about it, are all about money, all about finances. You go to work all week long to earn money, and then you spend it at night and pay bills. Majority of your time is about money, and our God is so awesome. He gave us a book full of training in how to be good stewards of our money, how to handle our finances, because he wants you blessed and prosperous. You know, he talked about money more than any other topic in the Bible. He talked about money because he knew it was important to your life, and he wanted every single one of us blessed. So it's good that we talk about finances every week, so it doesn't become a religious ritual with no effect in our life, that it keeps its power. In Malachi chapter 3, it tells us first to bring all the tithe to the storehouse, which is 10% of our income. And it goes on in Matthew to tell us that. In Hebrews, it talks about it also. We need to bring the tithe into the storehouse. But at the end of Matthew 3, it says they talked one to another about their finances. They talked about the goodness of God. They talked about the miracles and the wonderful things God was doing in their money. They talked about it. That's why I love that we get opportunity in our service to talk about money. You should talk about your finances and your money every single day with other believers. Encourage one another, because it's too easy to not remember the power when we put our finances in God's house, in God's kingdom. It becomes powerful.
Yes.
There was a woman I was talking to this morning. She had told me specifically she was believing for a certain job, and she's a tither and she's faithful, and she had been believing for this job. Every week she comes in, I'm like, is this the week? Is this the week? And this morning when she came in, I asked her, is this the week? And she said, yes, I got that job that I was believing God for. That's what happens when we walk under that Malachi 3 open heaven. It affects every single area of our life. But when we don't talk about it and we keep silent about it, it just becomes religious and it loses its power and its effect. What we do when we put our money in the offering plate is powerful. It is dynamic. It is supernatural. It takes your money from a place of just being natural and moves it into the supernatural. And I want to walk in supernatural kingdom finance every day of my life. So when we put it in God's kingdom, it changes to supernatural. Amen. Are you ready to give to the Lord this morning? Not out of a religious tradition, but knowing the power that your offering, your tithe holds. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. Supernatural declaration from the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we just repeat the word, and it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. Okay, now hold on. We just shouted about being blessed in my storehouse. The storehouse is the savings place, the retaining place. If you do not even have a savings account, haven't established one, how can God bless something that you haven't even? We are required to be good stewards over the 90%, and then he can bless our storehouse stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus? I want to remind everybody who's over 50 years old that you are welcome to senior breakfast tomorrow at the Cracker Barrel at 9 of AM. I'd encourage you to be there. We build relationships and friendships. Amen. We allow my wife to come. She's not eligible, but we do allow her to come and visit with us. Amen. We are so blessed today. You know, as a pastor, as your pastor, I just want to remind you, I don't bring in speakers just to bring in speakers. We bring in speakers because of a deposit. And I'll remind you, the fivefold ministry gifts found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. They are the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. These five ministry gifts have the same three jobs: to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to bring them to unity, and to bring them to maturity. And each one of the gifts has a spiritual deposit that they leave when they come. It is a supernatural enactment of God. And with that, when we bring in a guest speaker, we are asking, and I was telling Brother Avanzini this, I don't care if you even stand up here and preach. Just being in the building leaves a deposit from the gift so that we can take the next level and run with it. Can I hear an amen? I had this man say to me, in fact, one of the gentlemen that we help oversee down in Kentucky, my wife and I went this last January and ministered in their church. And the gifting that's on our life, we actually brought to that church. And we released the anointing in that church. He said, since that day, their church has been growing every single week.
Amen.
And he said, I don't understand. When did it start happening? And I said, research it back. You'll find it's when my wife and I showed up at the church. It's not because of us. It's because of the gift, the deposit the gift, of the gift
yes.
in the church that allows God to manifest more power. And so I want to encourage you. We have with us this morning a general of the faith. Now, I want you to know back when I was in Newfield, New York. Oh, Jesus, that was a long time ago. We had a man come to our church back then. His name was Johnny Simmons. I don't know if you remember Johnny Simmons. Johnny Simmons come, and he came and he spoke to our church concerning seed time and harvest. And I said to him, the reason I brought him is because he had learned under Brother John Avanzini. And I knew that ever having Brother John Avanzini to our church was an impossibility. Because literally, I mean, he preaches in the largest churches of the world. That's not even an exaggeration. Literally, the largest churches of the world he preaches in. And I said, wow, having him come here would be an impossibility. But I thank the Lord last year through divine connections, we were able to have Brother John Avanzini. And again, now we have him in the house with the gifting and the anointing that he's going to deposit and leave. I want to challenge you to be a sucker in the spirit. Man, let's let him walk out of this place. He's 82 years old. Let's let him walk out of this place so drained it takes four guys to carry him out the door. Amen. Let's draw every bit of the spirit out of him so that when he leaves here, he's tired. I just want him to be so tired when he leaves here, because that means we've done our job, and that is taking every bit of deposit out of that bank that we can. Amen? So if you will with me, let's welcome Brother John Evanzini. He's going to introduce his beautiful bride.
Wow.
But let's welcome Brother John Evanzini.
Woo! Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Wow. Glory. Woo! Let me look at you a minute before you're seated. Yes. You know, God doesn't live in a palace. He lives in his people. And the Bible says, beautiful for situation is the city of our God. Tell that person near to you. Now, let me help you with this. I'm from Fort Worth, Texas. We talk a little slower. And we really put the feel it in words. And I want you to tell that person near you that Brother John thinks they look nice. Now, wait, not nice like here, but up. Brother John thinks you look real nice. Give him that Texas nice. Tell him. Brother John thinks you look real nice. That's better than nice. Glory to God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wow. I feel a difference, like a rustling in the top of the mulberry trees. Something's getting ready to happen. Amen. Something's getting ready to happen in this house. And I got a feeling I'm talking to a lot of the people that are going to cause it to happen in this service. I feel that vibration of youth. And it feels good when you're 82 years old. That feels good to hear that. You know, a number of years ago, I was with a young man, and I was 18, I think, 17 or 18 at the time. We were traveling. We passed by a road, and he said, you know, down that road right there, the prettiest girls in Texas live right down that road. And I said, well, why are we going this way? Why aren't we going this way? So I got over there, and there was Sister Pat. And so 63 years marriage. Honey, come on, say something to the folks. Take your time.
Thank you, thank you. Oh, and that was it. When he came to our town and I laid eyes on him, that was it. That was it. Never had another date. He won my heart. I want to tell you that it is so good to be with you. I've loved Rhonda before I knew Rhonda. Before I ever met her, I loved her. Because my husband came home and said, you've got to meet this woman, Pat. She's your kind of woman. I don't meet many people. I'm a little different. I don't meet many people like me. But, oh, I was excited to meet Rhonda. And she was everything and so much more than I could have ever dreamed. She's been to my house twice. Yes, give them a hand. And I got to meet Pastor Michael this time. Oh, you've got a great man of God. A great man of God. So gifted with a mind to plan and to have faith in his plans for big things.
Yes.
Not too big, but God things that are big. So I'm just so thrilled to be here. Of course, you would know my husband's going to talk to you about money today. And you'd say, oh, what do you talk about at home a lot? Money. Right. What do you do every day? You go to work to do what? Make money. But why can't we be comfortable about talking about money in the church? It has the answers. Our Bible has the answers. I just want to tell you a little quick story about how we got into biblical economics. Can I do that? Okay, it didn't just happen. First, let me ask you, do any of you ever struggle with your debts? Just be honest. Don't be a liar out there. Tell the truth. We've all struggled with money, right? Let me give you a little illustration first. A man was one day looking at a little cocoon from a moth, a beautiful moth, but it was in the cocoon. And so he took that little cocoon home, and he wanted to see it come out of the cocoon and be this beautiful, beautiful moth. Well, he got the little cocoon home, and he watched it for days. And then one day he saw that it was trying to get out of that cocoon, and he watched it that day. And it got a little portion of it out, and then it just kind of stopped. And so he kept watching it and kept watching it. And then he felt like it's struggling to get out of there. It's struggling. I'll help it. Now let me ask you, in our struggles with money, have you ever done what I've done? God, if you were ever in this situation, I would help you out. I would not let you live in this situation. I'd just let you. Why don't you help me, God? Well, that's the way this man felt about that little cocoon. And so he took and he helped the little cocoon, the little moth, get out of the cocoon. And as it got out, it was a strange thing. This beautiful, beautiful moth that he was expecting to come out. When it came out, it had a swollen body, and its wings didn't open up. And the end of that part is it never flew. It never flew. And you know, that's the answer to you and I as we struggle getting out of debt. If God Almighty would just reach down out of heaven, and maybe with these open heavens we live under, just send me a bale of money and send me another bale if that one wasn't enough. May take another one, in fact, for some of us, right? That's the condition we were in. But you know what? If God reached down and just helped us out and we didn't keep struggling to get out of debt, we would be like that little moth. We would not have learned or developed into what we are today. And that is how John and I, we were in debt. And we struggled.
Yes.
And struggled to get out of debt. But when we got out of debt, 1 month later, the Lord was right on track. Right on track with us. But if he would have reached down and pulled us out, we wouldn't have developed. And having been in debt and working our way out for 2.5 years, you know what happened? That's where the message of biblical economics here came from. We had to struggle and struggle, but we learned lesson after lesson, lesson after lesson. We learned it, and we learned it well. God put it so in our hearts that for 33 years, since 85, my husband has been traveling, and I've traveled some, but doing other things too. Oh, I want to tell you, don't kick against it when you're struggling. Just let the Lord get right in there with you. Keep him right close to you as you're struggling, and you'll have the strength to go on through and get out of debt. And your wings will be good, and your body will be what it needs to be. And you can fly out of debt and become all that God has wants you to be. So come on, let's open our ears. Open our ears. Open our hearts so that God can write on our hearts. I want him to write so deep in my heart that I never forget. That's what I want for you too. Do you want that? Let's just pray a moment. Father, I pray for all the ears God, that are in this room.
God.
And God Almighty, I pray for the hearts here.
God.
And I pray for your messenger that's here today.
God.
To speak what you have put in his heart. Hmm. They'll lay hold upon it. And yes, as they struggle their way, out of debt that'll be so deep inside of them that they will soar and Thank accomplish you. Everything you have written in their Thank book of life, because there'll never be a shortage. Whenever you tell them to do something, there'll be more than enough. And when you tell them to do something else, there'll be money for that and money for something else.
Yes,
oh, open their ears today their hearts, and let us all receive what will be spoken to us this day. And the reason for it is, God, not for more exactly. You'll put more in our house, but it's to bring glory to you, Lord. Almighty God.
Yes.
We believe this prayer to be answered, Jesus, in the precious name of the one that saved us and died for us, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Mama. Woo. Praise God. 63 years. Sister Pat wrote a book. The name of the book is How to Keep the Honey in the Honeymoon. We loaded 90,000 books up at the 10, 12 years ago and sent them all to Asia and gave them away. We closed down our warehouse. We took all the copyrights off our books. So all of our books are on the internet. You can buy them secondhand just all over the internet. And look for that one, Keeping the Honey in the Honeymoon. Sister Pat has done that. Amen. Well, think of that. 63 years we're together, Sister Pat and I. 63 years. Raised 5 children, and all of them in the Lord. Grandchildren in the Lord, great-grandchildren in the Lord. God is good. Don't give up on the Lord. And that thing about struggling, I said this to you, and I don't know, a lot of times you get women, I said to you, I've never learned anything from what I've done right. The only time I learn anything is when I make a mistake. And so if you're in debt and struggling with it right now, you're in Bible college. You can get out of that debt and never go back in debt, because our God is a debt-canceling God. If he can cancel your sin debt, surely he can cancel your financial debt. I'm going to deal this day with, or speak to you today on a subject that, it's kind of, the title came to me last night. I actually pasted over the top of the title that I had, put some changes in it, Hidden in Plain Sight. Hidden in Plain Sight. And you know, this thing of seed time and harvest, there's a lot of times people think that's fundraising. But you know, the whole principle of everything that functions in the Bible functions on seed time and harvest. Your salvation is a product of seed time and harvest. The seed was planted when Jesus died and went into the earth. The seed died. It rose again. It didn't come back one, but it came back multitudes now of sons. A son planted, multitude of sons and daughters back. And then you come to find that he said, not only does seed time and harvest work out in the farm, not only does it work in salvation, but also over in the 4th chapter of Mark, you remember reading, he said, the sower sows the word. And so the word has been given seed time and harvest power. Number of things. The kingdom of God is like a seed. You're going to find seed time and harvest principles everywhere. But one of the unique things is that God assigned to money put into the kingdom of God, he assigned that when you attach your finances to the house of God, he gives the power of seed time and harvest to your finances. Now, we've heard that preached a lot, but it's right in the Word. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians 9, 5 through 6. We're in the Amplified. They're now taking an offering for the saints at Jerusalem, the poor saints at Jerusalem. And these I pick up in mid-sentence here. That is why I thought it necessary, that fifth verse, to urge these brethren to go to you before I do and make arrangements in advance for this bountiful promised gift of yours, we're in talking finances, so that it may be ready not as extortion wrung out of you, but as a generous, willing gift. Now, the sixth verse, he attaches and attributes to your finances put in the kingdom of God. Here's the verse where there is attachment of seed time and harvest power to money put into the kingdom. He said, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he that sows generously, that blessing may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. And then the 10th verse, he locks it right in and said, God who provides seed to the sower and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources. You see, he attached seed time and harvest power to money put into the kingdom of God for sowing, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness, kindness, and charity. Now, you're going to find that the things that I'm going to talk to you about today, you've heard every one of them. You've heard every one of them. But for some reason, the traditional interpretation of things never points out the seed time and harvest principle that makes these great truths that we're going to talk about function. So as we look at this, you're going to see familiar things, and all of a sudden you're going to see there's a principle of biblical economics, a principle, and economics is not just money. Economic means how something runs. There's an economics to a gasoline engine. There's an economics to a farm system, whatever it is. But the how it functions, every time these things of God, they have the seed time and harvest principle is in there. But if it's not pointed out, we get to looking at a verse with a traditional interpretation. And one of the problems with our traditions is they're more powerful than the word, and our traditions can make the word of God of no effect. You follow what I'm saying? So with all respect, as powerful as your Bible is, you brought something else with you to church that's more powerful than your Bible, and it's your traditions. And one of the problems we have with traditions, they're hard for us to shake because the people that loved us the most gave them to us. Lester Miller led me to Christ. So many things Lester taught me. And then as I had, he was not with the filling of the Holy Ghost. He was non-charismatic, and I had very definite thoughts about what the Bible said about the filling of the Holy Ghost. And then when I was confronted with it, one of the hardest things was not just flipping in the word, but I had to come against something that person that spent so much time winning me to the Lord and was so careful to nurture me and to bring me up in the things of God, I had to take and finally say that I have to let what he said go, and I would have to go with what the word says. So remember that as you hear these things, there traditionally is a stonewalling of finance in the church. People don't want to hear it, and the devil loves that. It's not the Lord that said, let's not talk about money at church. It was the devil who said that, because money spoken about at the church is turned into souls. And I'll tell you some interesting things about money today as we go along. But let's look at four or five of these things, three or four, how many we have time for, and see the operation of seed time and harvest functioning in stories that we've just heard so many times and enjoyed so much, but now there's a new dimension given to them. In 1 Kings 3 through 5, Solomon gets a rapid response from God. Now, you know, one of the things quickly I said to you, get this into your thinking, God is not slow. He's not a slow-walking, slow-talking God. He moves very quickly. I ask people sometimes, can you show me a slow miracle in the Bible? They sit there for half an hour trying to figure what was a slow miracle. We slow them down because if it's not happening, we want to have time. The evangelist wants to have time to get out of town before it doesn't happen. But God can move very quick. He can move rapidly. Everything he does is very quick, and that he accomplishes things. So watch these things as I give them to you. We start with this, and Solomon gets a rapid response from God. In that third verse, it says, Solomon loved the Lord, and we're in the Living Bible. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all of his father David's instructions, except that he continued to sacrifice in the hills and to offer incense there. The most famous of the hilltop altars was Gibeon. And now the king went there to sacrifice 1,000 burnt offerings. The Lord appeared unto him in a dream that night and told him, ask for anything you want, and it would be given to him. Now, that story is told all over about when Solomon came and made that great offering. The one after that was so big that they had to move out into the courtyard with offerings. So much came forth. But when it's told, it's just this wonderful story of abundance. But the truth is, he is building the temple at this time. He's probably in the tightest time of his life financially, Solomon is. And he brings forth 1,000 burnt offerings. But what we fail to see is that the scripture only calls, Acts 10:28, only calls for one lamb for one house. But Solomon brings 1,000. Now, does the size of an offering affect God's movement towards that offering? Well, here's a gigantic offering that's made. But what you have to catch is that the size of the offering does influence the size of the response if you believe the Bible. If you believe the Bible, because 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "This I say, he which sows sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Now, you got to catch this, though. The size of an offering is not determined by any government standard. The size of an offering is not decided by how much can be bought with it. The size of an offering is established by what that offering means to you. What that offering means to you. And you all know the story about the widow at Zarephath when the prophet comes into the city, says, "I'd like to have some water," and she brings him water. Now, she just gave him the most valuable gift in the city. When there's a 3.5-year drought that's going on and you get water, you have the most valuable thing in the city. He takes it, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But then he sees a little cake that he's making. She's making a little cake and she has it patted together and she says, "This is my son's dying and this will be his last meal." And the prophet immediately says, "Give me a piece of that. Put a piece of that into the ministry." Now, why is that? Because, you see, water is valuable, and it's even more valuable in a time of drought. But a dying boy's meal goes beyond valuable, and it goes into precious. And when the precious moves, God's hand moves. Do you follow what I'm saying? When a man is building the great temple in Jerusalem, and he is now in the stage of where the gold has to be laid over everything with gold, he is under financial pressure, but he brings 1,000. He brings 1,000 instead of one. Now watch. I don't have any way to compete with that. Well, see, Solomon had wealth, great wealth, but now in this moment, 1,000 burnt sacrifices with armies to feed, servants to feed. This became a tremendous, precious thing in this moment. He puts it in God's hand, and something happened that happens to us. Now, if you've been filled with the Spirit, you've had God speak to you. I never meet a person that's filled with the Spirit very long that God hadn't spoken to them. But watch this. When God speaks to you, I can tell you about what happened because this happens with me. He'll come and he'll tell you something that he wants you to do for him. Isn't that correct? But look at this. In that 5th verse, it says, "And God said to Solomon, ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you. Ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." Now, you see, if you sow little, you reap little. If you sow much, you reap much. But watch, little and much is not determined by some board of standard. It has to do with how valuable is that gift to you. If what you give is, when God looks at it, it'll be, He's got the same attitude about your offering that you do. If it's precious to you, it'll be precious to Him. Are you picking this up? See, God, here's the best way I've found, one of the best ways. God doesn't look at how much you give. He looks at how much you have left after you give. You follow? And many people that put in big amounts of money, they'll have gigantic money behind that. And other times a woman will come with 2 mites and it comes out. It was all she had, even all her living. And God took immediate notice of her. Are you picking up a little bit of what I'm saying? It's not fundraising. I'm not talking about fundraising. You'll see a lot of that in telethons and things like that. But I'm talking about every day, go to the grocery store, educate your children, see that you have tires for your car. These are the things that God wants to have that worry taken out of your life so that you can be about funding the great end time harvest of God and the winning of soul, because as you say, the second coming is close. Now let's take another one. We know protocol was broken by a significant offering of a Roman soldier. In Luke 7:2-7, King James, it says, "And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick, and ready to die. And when he heard, third verse, and when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Now the fourth verse, now watch. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly. Now listen, instantly saying that he is worthy for whom thou should do this, for he had loved our nation and hath built us a synagogue. Here they come now to Jesus, who is a righteous Jew, who lives the law, and it says it's a custom that the Jew does not go in the house of a Gentile. But when they come there, they begin to state how this man, what he has put forth out of his heart for God. He said, Lord, this man built us a synagogue. And they didn't get around to it after a while. They opened the conversation with the fact, he has built us a synagogue, Lord. He's worthy that you visit with him. And then you have a verse, it's very, very unique what Jesus says. Sixth verse says, then Jesus went with them. Instead of just Jesus went with them. The then Jesus with them meant that there was something holding the thing up before he decided to go. Do you pick up what I just said to you? Now, what are you say, Brother John, you trying to raise money? No. Listen, if you go, folks could get heaven totally open over this church. Now, please know you're corporate. You're a corporate people. You're in a corporate faith. If half of us are not tithing, we're under half an open heaven. If you ever get this church under a totally open heaven, it will be explosive what happens. The biggest powerhouse in this area is not some generator or some munitions that are stored somewhere, but what would come right out of this room in changing this whole part of the world would be changed. Why, there would be preachers and missionaries and broken marriages that come together. People would come looking for you. They'd be looking for one of you. They'd be just waiting somewhere to just touch base with you. Oh, God. God, I must stay on the subject here. Protocol broken because of a seed time and harvest principle. Do you follow what I'm saying? That there's something about the offering, and if it becomes sizable. Now, please, that might have been, for some people, the king could have built a synagogue, wouldn't even know it was out of the treasury. But this is a soldier, and he's put together out of his money. It was a precious thing he did. And then God says, now I will go with you. And please, if you don't agree with that, get mad at me. Don't get mad at the word, but that is where I got it. I did get it out of the word. Now let's look at a basic principle. Now watch this. I call this the 25-year shortcut. The 25-year shortcut, okay? Now, when you get into the book of Genesis, you find Abraham and Sarah. In the 12th chapter, they get a promise that they're going to have a lot of children. They're going to have myriads of children, families, and nations come forth. And here, 25 years later, Sarah's womb is still closed. No child has come. They've tried with Ishmael. They've tried with his servant. Maybe this is the one. No, God says she's going to have a child. She's going to have a child. And then finally, 25 years later, 21st chapter of Genesis, celebration time, Sarah conceives. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Man, 25 years. But now watch this. If this is the 21st chapter, first two verses, just go to the last two verses of the 20th chapter, okay? Can you picture that in your mind? In that 20th chapter, 17th, 18th verse, so Abraham, he's at Abimelech's house. Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and maidservants and their bare children, for they had fast closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now watch this. Abraham prays the prayer, and the wombs are opened at Abimelech's house. The next verse, Sarah's womb is open. What is the verse that goes between there? Ephesians 6:8 really should have gone right there where you have chapter 21 written, because it says whatever good thing you cause to happen for anybody else, God will cause that same thing to happen for you. See, it's a seed time and harvest principle, but have you ever heard anybody mention that at this place? Because our traditions carry us in a totally different direction each time. But we have to become a people that understands that this word is like a seed. Yeah. This gospel is like a seed. This kingdom is like a seed. This money we have, it's like a seed. It has seed time and harvest power. And if it's properly handled, it can multiply. Multiply. Well, let's go a little bit further. Everybody good? You still okay? Okay. You all know that there came a day when the franchise for the Jews ran out. It was now open market. The Gentiles were going to get the gospel too. But how did God pick the Gentile? How was it? Did they draw straws? Was it take a number? Did they do it like bingo, you know, with the rolling thing? How did they figure out which Gentile we're going to start with? It'll amaze you when you really, you know it, but it'll amaze you when you really look at it. Acts 10, 1 through 5. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God, and now send to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter. How was it done? A memorial. The prayers and the offerings and alms, they came up in what God calls a memorial and positioned themselves before the Lord. Now, a memorial, according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, is that which keeps alive the memory of something or someone. Are you getting that? Now, there is this instrument that this Gentile came up with that is a memorial, and it is made up of prayers and giving, desires and finances, and they come up before God as a memorial. They stayed in the presence of God as a memorial, and then God said, send and get Simon Peter. Now, watch. There's no question about it that something about the finances that Cornelius put into the kingdom of God had something to do with that Gentile having Peter called to his house. Did you catch what I just said to you? This thing is absolutely by faith. And you say, well, Brother John, why is it by faith? How do you get that at that point? Well, watch this. God went over and told Cornelius, I'm sending Peter. Then all the way the next day in the afternoon, he talks to Peter and says, Peter, I want you to go over there. You know what Peter said? I'm not going. He said, I won't eat that. No, sir, I won't eat that. He said, well, do it. Yeah, give you another chance. Eat of it. No, I'm not eating of it. Three times he said no. Man, God moves by faith just like we move by faith. Did you pick up what I just said to you? I mean, this whole thing has a system that operates, and it's not a secret. It's a system that every farmer knows. Every farmer knows more about how the Bible works than most Christians because they understand seed time and harvest. And here's the truth. Let me give you another truth. Am I taking too long? Give you another truth. Most of us sow out of our harvest. Farmers sow to their harvest. You getting what I just said to you? When things are tight, we slow down our giving. When things are tight on the farm, everything's gone. Mama's garden's plowed up everything right up to the driveway. You got corn growing. You follow what I'm saying? One of the laws of the harvest is you sow the most when you have the least. But that doesn't, see, our traditions just rip that off of us, and we're living with this dynamite book that we have, but we don't have that principle. God said the kingdom's like a seed. God said money's like a seed. God said your salvation comes from a seed as Jesus is planted into the earth. Are you catching what I'm saying to you? You can have let me say this. It's not the truth. It's the truth won't set you free. The Bible says the truth you know will set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. And folks, I'm telling you, my second visit around you and your pastor and his good wife, my second visit, and I go to a lot of churches, But I say this, and I say it truthfully. There's something getting ready to happen, but there is a wall. And it's not a real high wall. It's a wall, really, that you could just step over it. But the lie of the devil has had us to think that it costs something to give to God. It costs you money not to give to God. Because God runs your money on a seed time and harvest principle. And he said, look, if there's no seed, there's no harvest. Do the best you can out there. Gather up as much as you can, whatever you want. But if you want to really get in the rhythm of what I'm doing, if you want to have a grand entry into heaven with people everywhere that say, thank you for sending the gospel to me, get into seed time and harvest with your money. Get the same principles that the man has that put this corn next door that was that tall the last time I was out here. Get that principle working because, you know, I'm taking too long. Did you know he takes that one little kernel of corn and you put it in the ground? It doesn't just come up with all that green stuff and then one little kernel of corn on top. There'll be two big ears with hundreds of kernels of corn on it. It's like, how can we stay away from a deal like that when God says your finances operate by seed time and harvest? Are we learning? Well, let's go a little further. Genesis 18. Let me make sure I'm in the right place. 1 Kings. I'm going to get 1 Kings 18 and 23, 24. This Elijah now is getting ready for this big challenge with the prophets of Baal. It says in the 23rd verse, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress another bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it and call ye upon the name of your God and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people said, that's good, well spoken. So those were the rules. So Elijah, he builds his altar. And 31st verse, and Elijah said, took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around about the altar and filled the trench with water. So now in Bible college, the question comes up, why? What was this, all this water being poured on there for? Well, this was a contest, and Elijah just put water everywhere so no one could say that he started that fire. Child of God, that makes good sense. But there's a truth, not just sense, there's a truth. And when Elijah said, bring three barrels of water, that was the most expensive thing in the land. Then he said, bring three more. And bring three more. Don't you know there was all kind of meetings going on? Don't you know there was picketing? Everybody had their walking around there about wasting that water, throwing that water on there. But child of God, what was he wanting? He was wanting rain. And whatever a man sows, that is what he'll reap. If you want potatoes, you sow potatoes. If you want tomatoes, you sow potatoes. Tomatoes. If you want water, you sow water. If you want money, you sow. Is that so hard to understand? It's seed time and harvest. It's the same thing that made this fella a lot of money that's been planting his corn around here, because I got a feeling he's done it a long time, putting that corn in the ground and bringing forth harvest, bringing forth harvest, bringing forth harvest. What is he? Is he getting into something else? No, that thing works. He just keeps putting the seed in the ground. The harvest keeps coming up. He'll do it again and again. Last day of his life, he'll be out there looking when the seed's coming up. Now, when the rain comes, you remember, they send up seven times. Seven times, look, is there a cloud? Seventh time, he says, a little cloud. Oh, and we preach faith, teaching on faith. You can teach faith there. But the truth is, it's not faith. It's seed time and harvest. He sowed whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He wanted water. He sowed water. But it never gets told. And how can we operate in these things if we don't have a breakthrough and somewhere start using them, start talking about them? Amen? Amen. Well, I don't ever want to leave with people upset with me. So let's have some fun, okay? Pressure off. Let's have a little fun, okay? One more verse and we'll just have some fun with it. And I know you'll have fun with this one. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Now that's more like preaching, isn't it? That's more like church. Get happy, jump, run, shout. Would it upset you if I told you it's a financial verse? David needed money, and he needed it quick. How do you come up with that? Well, watch it. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. 25th verse. Save now, I beseech thee. Oh, Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. God, I need money, and I need it right now. David wasn't happy when he said this. He said, you're making this day, Lord, and there's 14 hours left in it. You got plenty of time to make me a miracle. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He had a positive confession. I'll have it. I'll have it. Now, isn't that wonderful? Positive confession. We can even live with that. But then seed time and harvest comes in. Seed time and harvest comes in because what does the 27th verse say? God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. He said, Lord, I need a miracle. I need a financial miracle. I need it quick, Lord. There's plenty of time left in this day for you to make me this miracle. But, Lord, I'm not looking for magic. I'm looking for a miracle. So I'm going to put seed time and harvest to work. He said, the sacrifice is bound to the horns of the altar. I've got my offering ready, God, now. I'm ready for seed time and harvest. But I need it quick. I need a quick miracle. Isn't that an amazing book? Why don't we ever see that system is behind almost everything that happens in the Bible? Seed time and harvest. Let me give you this, and I'll close with this. Well, it might be my first closing. In 2 Kings 4, you remember the Shunammite woman? She was the one that built the little place up on the wall for the prophet. She put table, chairs, some things in there, put a bed in there, just set that place up for the prophet where he could stay there. Now, that was her seed. You know, seed isn't always money. Right. Seed sometimes can be gift and kind and things like that. But there, this woman, she puts that up there for him. And one day, her son dies. Remember sunstroke? You know what she does? Now, remember, that bed up there is her seed. That bed is her seed. She takes that boy and takes him upstairs and lays him on her seed. She had relationship with God in seed time and harvest. And she laid him on that seed. Child of God, I got to tell you, you have to have seed in the ground. Something can happen. Something can happen going out that door. Something can happen next week. Something can happen next month. And you can't all of a sudden run around and say, I got to get some seed in the ground. You need seed in the ground where you can lay those big problems as soon as they come. Lord, when you're in that emergency room, that heaven is not brass, but heaven is open, and you can lay that problem on that seed. You understand what I'm saying to you? Seed time and harvest makes the difference of whether you live the rest of your life barely getting by or having more than enough. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? Oral Roberts said this. He said the most tragic thing of his lifetime was all of the harvest that the children of God left in the fields and never harvested. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? Church, this next few weeks, this next few months, some things are going to start happening around here. But what can happen sometimes, a move of God comes and all of a sudden, there's not enough money to do this. There's not enough money to do that. We got to pay for this. This has to be taken care of. And the advancement can't take place. Know this. The gospel is not free. Salvation's free. But the postage on the gospel is due every morning. The gospel does not move for free. And how will they preach except they be sent? How will they preach? Except they be sent. How will we meet here without these lights operating? How will we meet here this winter without that furnace working? How will we take and have those churches in Mexico ever grow to their potential if we can't go down there and see about them from time to time? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm not talking about Rolls Royces and all that kind of stuff. That's a bunch of foolishness went on at one time. But God does not mind you having good things. But his highest purpose in your life is that you would never have to say no to him again. And most of the time when you say no to God, it'll be because of some stupid financial shortage that's in your life. Are you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm simply talking about getting seed in the ground and believing in seed time and harvest, because your finances operate if you put them in the kingdom. I got another minute, preacher. You know, the Bible says that the altar actually sanctifies the gold. The altar sanctifies the gold. It's written very clearly in the New Testament. I don't have the scripture at hand, but it's written there. But how do you get your money sanctified? How do you get your money sanctified? You know, you have any idea where this dollar bill has been? It's been, they say, about a few weeks after it's out, it has cocaine on it already and drug on it. It's been in the hand of prostitutes. It's been in the hand of child molesters. And, you know, if spirits can get on a napkin, how many spirits can get on a dollar bill, on the money? Do you follow? We get this money and we bring it with all that foulness on it. We bring it in our home. We give it to our daughters. They put it in their, sometimes they'll just tuck it away. Here's all this foulness on that money. We give it to our sons. They put it in their pocket. And all that foul spirits. You know how you get, you sanctify it by circumcising it. You just take it and you take 10% off of it. And you put it into the church. Now you got kingdom money. Now you got a whole new kind of money. Did you know the anything you, any nickel, any penny you put in the kingdom of God, it talks forever? It talks forever. Look, am I still got time? Tell me. Hebrews, look at Hebrews. Hebrews, and we're going to go to 11 and 4. If every penny you've ever put in this church is still talking, and it'll be talking a long time after you're gone. Amen. Hebrews 11, 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, by his offering, he being dead yet speaketh. 4,000 years ago, Abel made a proper offering, and that offering is still talking today. Life comes into your money. See, take another minute. Your money. See, in your physical form, you're one-dimensional. If I started as a bricklayer, those days when I would be there mixing that mortar, that was where I was. If I left there, the money stopped. I had to stay right there. But when I got the money, this was my life. I just traded 40 hours of my life for this. But there, I was one-dimensional. But in this dimension, I'm omnipresent. Because even now, well, it's a little late now, probably a little earlier today, 250 children in Managua, Nicaragua had breakfast that Sister Pat and I fed them. 1,000 in Manila had breakfast that we fed them. How did you get to Manila that quick? Oh, I stayed right here, but I was in my superior dimension, went to Manila. My finances went to Manila. My finances went to Managua. Are you catching this? You can be omnipresent. And listen, money gets, it's so powerful once it's been sanctified. It's just so powerful, the things it can do. But how are you going to get it? Are you just going to get the amount that the society measures out to you? Are you going to get on a whole other economic system to where they'll stand with their mouth open and wonder how in the world it happened? Are you going to get to where you start making things happen for someone else that you want to have happen to yourself? Are you going to start taking and moving into the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Are you going to put your money in a bank? And you need money in a bank, but are you going to trust in that bank system that gives you 1.5% for a year's deposit? The criminals, they should all wear masks. It's criminal. It's criminal that you can look a person in the face and do that with their money. What are we talking about? We're talking about getting a seed in the ground. Now, I know right now the crowd I'm speaking to. I see it. I had this not long ago. I was getting ready to speak to a room full of I had thought this is just going to be people my age and just a little younger. And all of a sudden, I looked around and I realized the room was full of young people. Young people, you don't have to go through what your parents went through. You don't have to live a life of not having enough. I mean, right now, when there's a little bit of money moving through your hands, get the tenth over into God's hands. Learn what that seed envelope's about. Quit scattergun shooting with your prayers. Be a sharpshooter. Don't pray for every kind of thing like that, but say, Lord, I want this to happen, and I'm sowing this seed, and I'm asking you, this is a memorial. I need this to happen. I need that to happen. Young person, you don't have to live 30 years paying your house off. With Christ, and I'm telling you, with Christ, 7-8 years, you can pay a house off. Pay a house off. And then remember this, God didn't say that he would multiply your things. He said all these things will be added unto you. But then he says, I'll multiply your seed for sowing, and I'll add to your assets. Don't get caught up in the mess that the Americans caught up in, that they multiply their assets and add to their giving. Use biblical principles. When you're my age, you'll be feeding kids all over the world. You'll already have set aside, as my wife and I do, the inheritance for our children and for our children's children. Where did it come from? It came right out of the offering plates as I put my finance into those offering plates, and God multiplied it back to me again and again and again. I want you to plant a seed today. You know, if I was teaching on salvation, we would want a demonstration. We would want people to come forward and be saved. If I taught on healing, we would want a demonstration. We would want people to come and be healed. I've spoken on a biblical subject. I've spoken on biblical finances, line upon line, precept upon precept, at least 12 verses of scripture we went through or more. I want you to take your seed basket, your little seed envelope, and I want you to make an offering today. I want you to get a strong offering made, strong. A seed that you can plant. Who knows? Tomorrow morning you may need to lay some problem on that bed of that seed. Who knows? But you prepare that offering now. I'm going to speak an increase over it. I'm going to speak 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold over it. These are all things in the Bible. So prepare your offering. Would you please take, if you need an envelope, lift your hand. They'll get it to you. All over the room. Begin to make it out. Don't be embarrassed about it. You know, some people don't want to put finances to the Lord on a credit card. Hey, it's good for it to go through the bank every once in a while preaching the gospel. They need to hear that. Money needs to hear where it's going. It's going into the hands of the saints. So use a credit card. That doesn't hurt anything. Just pay it off when the due date comes. Will you make that out now? Pastor, are you peaceful with everything? Have I taken too long, sir? Okay. Well, those things I just gave you, they're true. They're in the Bible. They're not very many times mentioned. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. But our traditions have got us where we don't talk about money. Spend most of our life on money. 8 hours a day working. Many of us, an hour each way to work. At least an hour a day. That's 9 hours. Getting dressed, going and buying different things, shoes, all the things that have to do with work. It's a big piece of our life. And God says, let's take that out of the pressure cooker and let's put that into the altar and let's set to have be sweatless. Let that income come into your life. Let God operate seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. So as you have it ready, just prepare it. We'll not walk it up. I'll have them just pick it up at the end of each row. We'll pray over it here. And then we'll look forward possibly the next time that we can be with you. Bring you something else from God's Word, because I wrote 52 books on biblical economics. So there's quite a bit in the Bible about it. More about money than there is anything else. People hate to hear that, but it's the truth. And seed time and harvest is behind every move of God. Seed time and harvest. So if you need another minute, wave at me if you need another minute. You're not quite ready with your envelope yet. Yes, I saw a hand or two. Take another minute. Pastor, be down here with me, will you? In case there's a riot, I want you right in the middle of it. Say.
It's interesting when we start talking about this in church, especially in the Northeast, people get all uptight. But you know, the reason that we talk about it is because God wants to get money to you.
Yes.
But he can't get money to you if he can't get money through you.
Through you.
This is the principle of God's kingdom, not of man's kingdom, not of a religion or a church. That's why these always work. These principles always work. I have pastors, and we have, as we all know, five churches down in Mexico. One of the pastors down there had a problem talking about money to his church, talking about tithing. And I said, how dare you do that? He said, what do you mean? And I said, how dare you steal from the people? He said, because if you never, I said, if you never teach them about tithing, then they never step into an open heaven. If they never step into an open heaven, then they're always going to struggle. You see, you and I, we are blessed people. We have a Bible. How many of you got a Bible in your house? How many of you got two Bibles in your house? How many of you got five Bibles in your house? How many of you got 10 Bibles in your house? We've got all these Bibles in our house, but we live more by tradition than we do by the Scripture. And I want to challenge you. If this message has upset you, I want you to know something. Really, the message hasn't upset you. What's made you angry is this principle, is that you love money more than you love the Word. I need you to hear that. Because this is as much the Bible as salvation. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't get many amens on that, but I'll try one more time. If you believe in salvation, then you believe in this. If you believe in healing, then you believe in this principle. You can't separate the portions you like. You can't allow tradition to supersede and nullify the Word of God.
Amen.
So I challenge you. This will set you free. Do you know this? Two main reasons for divorce? Divorce being 52%. Do you want to know what it is? Sex and money. Listen now. Money is real and it's powerful. And I challenge you to learn these principles. Seed time and harvest. You learn it, you'll always live blessed.
Here.
You don't, you'll always struggle. Why don't you bring the ones, if pass them out to the edges and bring them on up. Here's mine as well.
Let's get them to the end of the aisles. Usher will pick them up. We'll pray with you. I thank you for this time. It's a truth that's in the earth now, but it's tried to be suppressed. 52 books about it, so I could come another time or two and share maybe something else about finances in the Bible. Is there anyone else quickly? Yes, sir. Let me see. Okay. Ushers, grab that real quick. Bring it forward. Amen. We're going to speak the word. Still coming. Young people, get a hold of this, and you don't have to go through what your parents went through. You don't have to have all that money owing on college education. Many a Christian that uses biblical economics goes all the way through, never have to make a loan. You ask them, how did it happen? They say, I don't know. It was a miracle. I can't even explain it. But God can get money to you, like Pastor said, if he can get it through you. Here you go, sir. Is that everybody now? Amen. Pastor, put your hand on here. Still coming. All right, still coming. Come ahead, sir. We can wait for some old mossback sinner to get saved. We can wait for a saint to get their offering in. Amen. Extend your hands this way. God, I thank you there's more than enough. I thank you did not make a planet and put too many people on it to overwhelm the resources. God, we know there's more than enough money, but the wrong people have it, the wicked have it. And in the name of Jesus, we speak by seed time and harvest that you transfer that wealth out of the hands of the wicked into the hands of your children. And they will make this planet bloom like a garden. And I thank you. It's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Woo! Let me get your arm.
Honestly, that's from a general in the faith. He's ministered literally all over the world, TBN, for I don't know how many decades were TBN.
24 years.
And we had him right here in Horseheads, New York, dispelling foolishness and rearing up the truth of God's word. I'm going to have Mindy come on over here. If you'd like to give your heart to Jesus this morning, one of the greatest altar calls I ever had was when I preached on tithing. We had 15 people born again when I preached on tithing one time. If you'd like to give your heart to Jesus, enter into God's principles of salvation and also blessing, Mindy's right here with you. I'm going to have the prayer team come up. If you need prayer for anything, they're here to lay hands on you, minister to you. But this principle I want you to do. What I want to challenge you to do is this. Learn how to be a perpetual sower. That is, every day I'm asking you to sow something. Maybe a penny, maybe a dollar, maybe a dime. But become a perpetual sower. And that is, you learn this principle, you'll always live blessed. Amen?
Here.
I said amen. Stand to your feet with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless us going out. Lord, let the world look at the church finally and say, I want to have what they have. God, not only in salvation, not only in peace, but also, God, in blessing. That Jesus, they will look at the church and know that our God is not dead, but our God is alive. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, we love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him.